This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Today we begin a new four-part series titled, How to Handle Adversity.
Thank you for this opportunity to go into the Word, Lord. We thank you that we can go in the Word with joy, with zeal, with happiness, with excitement, Father. We thank you that we go into the Word today expecting to hear from God. We don't expect to hear from man, but we expect to hear from you, Father. Speak through my lips, anoint my mind and my understanding, Father. May I speak as a pen of a ready writer, Father. May I speak as an oracle of God, only what you would have said, Lord. Enlighten my mind to the Word of God, that the Word is spoken not from head to head, but from heart to heart, Father. For all ministry is done heart to heart, Father. May we speak today from my spirit to the spirit of every person that's listening, God. I thank you that the word will not return void, but will accomplish what you purposed it to do today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we're going to begin a series, something that I felt impressed in my heart to share is how to handle adversity. How to handle adversity. Whenever you purpose in your heart to succeed in life or to improve in life, guess what's going to come? Adversity. Because nothing's going to be easy. The devil's going to do his best not to make it easy. Now, it will be easy in the sense of if you stand in who you are in Christ, that's not a problem. If you stand in who you are in Christ, it is easy. So the devil will get out of your way. But the problem is, as we give a little bit to the flesh and we get a little bit in the flesh, all of a sudden things get hard. Because you know things are hard in the flesh. Things are, when you're trying to do the will of God through your flesh, that's next to impossible. That is next to impossible because your flesh is too strong when you're not going to keep the spirit man fed. But I got adversity coming. Okay, I'm going to do something. If you think adversity is not coming when you try and get out of debt, you think something's not going to happen. Great. Car brake at the wrong time. You get two steps ahead and something break to knock you two steps back. Well, I like God putting that clause in Malachi 3 where he says that even if it's tithers, I will rebuke the devourer. That means the one who just comes in when you're not even expecting it. He's just messing stuff up. You know, your car doesn't have to break right now. It could break some other time. Yes. You know? It doesn't have to break now. Well, God can push that stuff on. If he can make a car go by blowing behind it, he can definitely sustain that to a better time. I mean, the people in Israel, I mean, they walked around and their shoes wouldn't even wear off. They walked around and the shoes didn't even wear out. I mean, if the shoes can't wear out, then the tire can keep working, the carburetor can keep working, the timing can stay on if you believe in God and you're being faithful. But the adversity is going to come. But you have to stand there. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivereth them out of them all. And he can deliver you out of it before you really get into it if you walk in faith. Because I believe that the Christian, particularly at Joy of Faith Christian Center, the ones I know about, ought to be on the offensive, not always on the defensive. Always trying to defend. Well, the devil made me sick. Now I got to get healed. Well, I'm poor. Now I got to get rid. But to get ahead to where you're saying I'm maintaining what I have. Because, see, it's no need to live below water when the air is above water. You need to be living above the problem, you know? We need to get out of it, then live above it. Why? So we can breathe. And we can relax and we can go ahead and show other people. And when we minister to people, even if they can't walk by faith, they can at least look at your life and walk by sight.
Praise God.
They can at least do that because, you know, unborn again people don't know anything about walking by faith. They know about walking by sight. That's why we want to build a testimony that's worthy of what we're saying. So folks can say, well, I don't know about Jesus, but you got something because I can see it. Because people are in the world are not going to follow your testimony when you're telling them about prosperity and you're broke. You bouncing checks all over town. You telling him, my God will supply your needs. I said, well, when he supplies yours, come see me. Because right now, yours are not supplied. I mean, you go ahead and you preach by faith. But the whole ideal is that should be building your faith to get to the point where you don't have preaching by faith. You're preaching by fact. You can get up there and say, I'm blessed. And it's not a faith statement. It is a statement by fact. You're not calling things to be not as though they were. You're calling things that are because they are.
Praise God.
And that's different. But the adversity is always going to come. The devil is not going to let it be easy. That's where if you keep the spirit full and overflowing with the Holy Ghost, it will be easy because it's just a matter of maintaining the defeat. But the more you give to the flesh, which means the less you feed the spirit, go to a good church where the word is being taught on a regular basis, studying your word in the middle of the week, getting into the Bible, praying, praising and worshiping God. The less you do that, the stronger the flesh will be. And the flesh will always lead you to failure. How to handle adversity. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. End of the Bible there just about. 1 Peter 5:10. We're talking about how to handle adversity. Adversity is just like a person that's always coming around on your doorstep. As soon as you're going to go do something positive, there's adversity. As soon as you try and make a change in your life, there's adversity. And the question is, what will you do with adversity? How will you handle it? Will you say, get off my doorstep, I got business to take care of, or will you say, come in and let me hear what you got to say?
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
How to handle adversity. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. End of the Bible there just about. 1 Peter 5:10. We're talking about how to handle adversity. Adversity is just like a person that's always coming around on your doorstep. As soon as you're going to go do something positive, there's adversity. As soon as you try and make a change in your life, there's adversity. And the question is, what will you do with adversity? How will you handle it? Will you say, get off my doorstep, I got business to take care of, or will you say, come in and let me hear what you got to say? Will you be ready? 1 Peter 5, verse 10 reads as follows. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. Now, God wants to make you perfect. He wants you to be established, he wants you to be strengthened, and he wants you to be settled. Now that takes some meditation. You need to take that home. You need to look that over. Now God wants me to be perfect. He wants me to be established. He wants me to be strengthened. He wants me to be settled. Now if you look at those and you take any one element, eventually that's not enough. I need to be perfect. You know what I mean? When I say perfect, you know what I mean? As perfect as you can be as a human being in flesh and blood. You need to be the best that you can be. You need to never settle in yourself for something. Well, I did such and such wrong. That's not acceptable. I'm going to see what I can do to make sure I don't do that again. What can I study? What can I learn? What can I read? Who can I talk to help me get that out of the way? Because I want to be perfect. Now, we're not talking about being a perfectionist where you make a mistake and all of a sudden you go fall into depression or you fall into discouragement. That's the other extreme. Right. But we're talking about in the sense of you balance out and say, I don't like making mistakes. It's never acceptable. I'm going to do something to change it. You know, I'm like that. I think that's a good way to be. And I'm not talking about being perfectionist. You'll get weird. Right. But I'm talking about I made a mistake. How do I not make it next time? Not feeling sorry for yourself and, man, you know, I made this and I'm always messing up and starting to say the wrong things, getting all out of faith, but just saying, look, that's not like me. What did I do wrong? Oh, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do this like this next time. That's not gonna happen. In other words, you wanna be perfect. Establish. He wants to establish you in the faith, establish you in life where you're not wishy-washy, you're established. Then he wants to keep you strong so that you don't fall back down to strengthen you. Then he wants to settle you. Settle to me is when you get to a point where I know some things. I don't know everything, but I know some things about God. And the things I know, I've tested, I've tried, and I'm settled and satisfied that they work. And I'm going to do the same thing under every circumstance the devil brings like that. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to attack this adversity the same way every time because I'm settled in the fact that this works. See, a lot of people never reach settle. They're always struggling to beat the devil, always struggling to overcome the flesh. You can get to a point to where you develop yourself to a point in the Word of God where I'm not saying the flesh is not rising up. It's trying to rise up. But you already know what it does. I mean, it's almost like you ever have a puzzle as a kid. And then once you figure out all the answers, it's just not a challenge anymore. You know, you can figure out the devil's devices and how he moves and what he did. If you weren't here last couple of weeks, you need to get those tapes on discerning the devil's deeds. You see how the devil does things. And when he's coming, if you already know the answer to that puzzle, why is it a problem that you keep falling prey to it? You already know. You just look and you just say, you know, there was a time you tricked me up with that. There was a time I'd call that coming in through the back door, but I see you a mile away, and you just head that off. And when you get like that, the devil only has so many tricks in his bag. And he's been playing the same bag of tricks, the same adversity, the same tools to bring you down as he did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and everybody else. And all you got to do is read and study the word and understand what those things are and the signs of them coming. And you stand up and stay on the word instead of doing that. Don't even give any provision to the flesh to be tempted to do it. Just stand up in the face of adversity and say, oh, I see that. And you just sidestep it. Or you speak the word and knock it out of the way. Do you really think Jesus was tempted that much when he was tempted? I mean, the man had fasted for all those days. And Satan's talking to him about bread. You know, the man hadn't eaten in days and days and days, and he knew what to tempt him with bread. That was some adversity trying to come, but did it even tempt him? He just said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. He knew the word. He had studied. He had meditated. He had gotten it in. He said, I say nothing except what I hear my father say. If you read between the lines, many times you see they don't talk a whole lot about it, but they'll say Jesus went off from the crowd. And a lot of people read right by that. Sometimes you got to get alone.
Praise God.
I always wondered. Now, you say it, you say nothing but what you hear your father say. You do nothing but what you see your father do. When were you seeing and hearing this? And then I started looking for when was he seeing and hearing this? And I started seeing these parts, and he pulled away from the crowd.
Yeah.
Like that time when he had preached, and he preached such a good sermon, and he needed to pull away from the crowd. Even his disciples, he said, look, you guys get on the boat, you go on across there, you know? And then next thing you know, it's late night, and he come walking across the water. You know, is that you, Lord, out there? Is that you? You know, he was alone. If you're walking on the water at night, you're going to be alone. You know, he was alone. And who knows where he was between then. He didn't say he pull aside. You need to pull aside. Don't always be so busy, because you won't be ready when adversity comes to recognize it if your mind is too busy. I try not to have a busy mind. I have lots of things to do. But remember, procrastination keeps things in your head. If you do it and take care of it, you can forget about it. It's not taking up any brain space because it's done. It's finished with. But you procrastinate about eight things at a time. You got eight things running in your head and trying to remind yourself, I got to remember to do this. I got to remember to do that. Why didn't you just do it and forget about it? Keep your brain clear, because you got to have an open spirit and an open heart to hear God so that you can recognize adversity when it's coming and you can begin to apply these things we're about to go into. Point number one, how to handle adversity, prayer.
Today's message has been part one of the four-part series titled, How to Handle Adversity.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Fifth Street Pharmacy of Okeechobee is a WCNO corporate underwriter.